Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Megan Buchanan. And Megan is going to talk about funding for women in sports. Now, Megan, you and I have talked steadily over the past year. And the price of going to Everest and now going to Antarctica is quite hefty. And, you know, what you want to do, there's only, you know, not many women are doing what you're doing. So what's funding like for women who want to break barriers like you're trying to do?
That's such a great question because I think, and I mean, just in general, men or women, you know, most people don't have an idea of what these crazy goals of doing the seven summits in the North and South Pole, you know, what really goes into it cost-wise, time-wise, you know, emotionally, mentally, and yeah, it gets really, really hefty. You start with some of the mountains like Aconcagua and Elbrus and Denali and you know, Kilimanjaro, Elbrus, Aconcagua, it's more around like that $5,000-$6,000 range, which, you know, most people can save and figure that out. When you get to Denali, that's getting now up to $10,000 to $12,000. Then when Everest type of thing, that jumps up to a whole nother level. And there are many different kinds of outfitters. Like anything else you can purchase in this world, there's the cheap, quick version, and then there you do your research and there's better versions of it. I always look for a company that, first of all, really cares enough about the actual community and the country we're in. They take care of the people. They give benefits. They do what is right ethically. And so generally that's going to cost you a little more money than the, you know, the bargain basement one. And also safety, your own safety, that starts to add money in. So I would say what I have found is, and actually I'll try to pull stats here from the Googles, but what I have found is sort of the average cost for Everest, and that's just to the outfitter, is probably around that $65,000 to $70,000. Then on top that, yeah, you are required to have insurance to cover your trip, which generally is based on how much the cost of your trip is anyway. So that was about $8,000 for me to cover my trip, and which, as you know, we went to Everest and we were denied our summit bid at the very end due to COVID, and insurance, we're still going back and forth with insurance. Me and my team, they are saying they're not going to pay us out, even though it was in the policy. So why I have to get insurance, I don't know if they're not going to pay it. So I don't expect to get anything back there. So if you're listening to insurance company, do right. Anyway, so then there is airfare. So, of course, go to another country. You need to get flexible airfare so that you never know when you're going to be done at the end of your trip, so to be able to get back. Plus, any time missing from work. I mean, I am lucky enough that I have paid vacation, but that's only, you know, the average person has 2 to 3 weeks maybe paid vacation. And when you're gone 2 months, I do not get paid. I have to take leave without pay. So you have to make up for that. Plus, then, I mean, so there's all these crazy things, plus specific gear and food and the different items. So I would say Everest really all in for me was about $100,000. And then you look at Antarctica, which is another, I mean, that one is so hard to get to. And that is where a lot of the expenses for there. And since I plan on doing Mount Vinson, which is the highest peak in Antarctica, plus I plan on doing the South Last Degree trek or ski to the South Pole, it is more cost effective for me to do it all at the same time instead of having to pay for two different trips to go down there. So I'll be doing them back to back, which is awesome, but that is about $80,000 to the outfitter, and then we go through the whole thing again, plus the insurance. Which the insurance for that one I think is about 5K for me, plus airfare down to Chile, which is a nice little penny. And again, so we go through the same things. And then I have most of my gear, but there is very specific gear that I have got to get to that last degree ski. Because of the wind, it could be negative 50 degrees going across. So another jacket, pants, bib, this fur collar. So that's about $1,500 in specific gear that I have got to get for this. So it's crazy. And that really is a huge part of not just physically and mentally the challenges and maybe why so few have done it, but let's be honest, this is a very privileged type of activity and sport. To be able, you know, I have such gratitude that I am able to go do this, and I spend every single penny I have. and I don't have kids, so, I mean, that allows me, you know, to be able to spend that money towards doing these goals. But it is overwhelming. So to repeat Everest with me not getting anything paid back from insurance, no, like Antarctica, I had to take out a personal loan to get there. So for me to return to Everest in 2022, I've got to look at sponsorship and funding, or I don't go. I will have to wait another year or two to be able to save that money back up and do throw wine dinners or whatever I need to do to be able to get it funded.
You know, in the course of our conversations, you know, I think about the Olympic champions. I think about Simone Biles and, you know, the swimmers and the runners. They have been able to tap into funding because, you know, they spend days and days and days just doing their sport. I remember reading about Mark Phelps, that's right. Am I correct in his name?
Michael Phelps. Mm-hmm.
Michael Phelps. He would spend all day in the pool swimming, and I remember reading about how many calories he burned and how much he got to eat to sustain himself. But you know, if he's in the pool all day practicing for an Olympic meet, then he's not really having a full-time job at that point. So for an athlete who wants to compete on such a high level, and I think what you're doing is a really high level, where does one go for funding?
You know, and it gets really, really hard. And you're right. Like I really considered myself kind of a weekend warrior. It used to be I train for, you know, Aconcagua, but I am to a different level now where, and here I am on year three training for Everest, and it is year round. If you want to do it right, if you want to have, you know, don't be in the best shape of your life, be in Everest shape of your life. And last year it paid off because I need to be training constantly, but I do have to have a full-time job. So I'm just like, you know, sometimes I can't get back to you for like a week because I literally have zero time because I'm trying to fit it all in. You know, I was looking at some stats and especially with women sponsorships, and of the top 100 paid athletes, only two of them are women, and that's like Serena and the other tennis player who she's done. I'm blanking on her name right now, but it's Naomi Osaka. And then you look at sports sponsorships, and this is kind of stats from around 2015. But of the sports sponsorships available and money, women's sports sponsorships only account for 0.4%. Not 4%, 0.4% of the money out there. And so then you can get into a whole bunch of discussions of the women that are supported and sponsorship. Some of them aren't the top of their game. They're maybe more attractive than others. And so for women's sports, women especially still have to kind of, getting sponsorship is even harder because you still have to fit this mold of what companies and sponsors are looking for. You can't just be the top of your game. You have to be attractive too. So, you know, it definitely is sort of an unbalanced thing. And then when it comes to all over sponsorships for men or women, it is very difficult because you think about, we all use, I'm working with this amazing company or people out in New York right now trying to help me with grit and reach other people and try to inspire. But we're really looking at what is my brand. And I have very specific ideas of what I'm willing to do and I'm not willing to do. I'm not willing to cater to what certain people want if it's not who I am. But, you know, it's a lot of discussions that we have. And some of the guys are like, well, I want to go after, you know, a GoPro sponsorship for you. You look at these companies that all these athletes use are products. And so everyone uses GoPro in the outdoor industry. You know, everyone uses certain fuel and energy bars in regular athletics. You know, in gymnastics, everyone's going to use the same sort of springboard or whatever it is. And how many athletes are going at that company for that sponsorship? And maybe they only have 10 ambassadors or athletes they sponsor. So it's extremely competitive, just as competitive as it is to be the top of your sport. It's just that competitive, I think, to be able to get sponsorships. And so there are a lot, if anyone's interested, there are a lot of great articles out there on how you can try to find your niche. And for me, and what I'm doing, which is, you know, not a lot of women are doing it, I kind of look for the products and the things that I use that aren't necessarily aligned with that mountaineering name. And so maybe it gives them something a little different, like, hey, I actually use your product, like the sunscreen I use, which I found through esthetician's office, getting, you know, like a peel, a VI peel after all the harsh conditions on my face. And the sunscreen they use, which is mainly for post like plastic surgery. And I wrote, they're like, oh my God, this is great. We had no idea. So they send me product. And so I think it's really, really hard for athletes to be that high echelon to get the sponsorship. And then it's even harder for women to be able to get sponsorships because most companies want to sponsor men and men's sports. So I get very passionate about this. I just read an article like MasterCard is stepping out of the box and they're really, really going for trying to find female athletes, female rugby players, female soccer players. They're trying to set a new culture and breaking barriers by supporting equally men and women athletes, which I think companies have got to start stepping up and doing.
So you were outlining to me, I believe it was in our last radio conversation, how few women are working to achieve what you're trying to achieve. So give us an overview of how many women are actually or have actually attempted to do what you're doing.
And there's a couple different levels of it. First, there is the Seven Summits, which is climbing the highest peak on every continent. I would need to look up, and sometimes the exact numbers are a little hard to find a database that captures this, but approximately, I think about somewhere between 50 and 75. Actually, that might be really high. I need to look at that. Not under 100. Under 100 for sure have done that. Then we add on the last degree ski to the South Pole. Last degree ski means you get dropped at, you know, latitude and longitude. You get dropped at 89 degrees, and then you, with pulling a sled behind you, backpack, rope team, you cross-country ski and climb to 90 degrees, which is the South Pole. And that's about 60 miles across extremely harsh conditions. And so that is called the Explorer's Grand Slam, doing the Seven Summits in that last degree ski. Less than 15 women have ever done that. And then I hope to go on and then do one harder, which is the unsupported trek or expedition to the North and South Poles, where they drop you, for example, Antarctica, they drop you at the coastline, and then you've got to go all the way into the South Pole. This is about a 2-month expedition, 2 to 3 months, and it's serious stuff. So that will be then the Adventurer's Grand Slam, and only 2 women have ever done that. And I think only 15 men have done it. That one's a whole nother level. The Explorer's Grand Slam, that is well in my eye shot right now. And yeah, only 15 women have done it, which is just crazy to me.
So, you know, when you put on the Olympics and you see all these champions, like I mentioned Simone Biles a few minutes ago, but, you know, whether you do the gymnastics that she does, or the swimming, or whatever sport there's a lot of people competing for a chance to get into the Olympics in their particular sport. But what you're doing is so it's challenging. Challenging is a mild word for what you're doing, and there's very few women in the world over time who have done it. So I think the that want to sponsor should be welcoming you with open arms. It shouldn't be like you have to go after them. It's like they should be going after you. And it's like, I know it's probably not like that, but
no.
What you're trying to achieve for not only yourself, but for women, even though most women are not going to climb the 7 summits and the other things you're doing, but it will surely give inspiration to keep on going in whatever endeavor a woman wants to do. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this to me, and you know, it's, I was talking about this other day, like when it comes down to it, this isn't about me, you know, skiing to the South Pole. This isn't about me climbing, going back to finish and summit Mount Everest. It's exactly what you're talking about. This is about inspiring other women, and it's symbolic. It's not the actual summit or feat. It is symbolic about never giving up and going for goals that few women have ever done, if that is what your passion and your heart is. You know, and that is what I'm trying to inspire others to do. What is your Everest? What is your Antarctica? Maybe it is a degree in STEM. Maybe it is, you know, getting your truck driver's license. Maybe it is, you know, becoming a detective. Whatever it is in these predominantly male-dominated fields, or it doesn't even have to be, whatever your dream is, it is about inspiring women to go for it. You know, and we can talk about not just sports and funding there, but I talk a lot, since I'm an engineer, I talk a lot about STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and it's huge pushes to get women and encourage girls to get into the field and then stay in the field, because women leave STEM and these jobs at much higher rates than men do. And Stanford did a great, they always do studies every year, what the gender pay gap is. And it's still, it's 20-some percent still pay gap between men and women. And one of the things that Stanford did a study also of why out of college and different jobs are men still getting paid higher than women when they've got the same grades, that sort of thing. And a small percentage, they think, is because of just confidence alone and how companies or perceive men and women differently. And men are raised to be more confident. Women are not. Men are raised to really talk about their accomplishments. Women are not. And this, I think, bleeds over into sports and sponsorships as well. And it's how people are perceived. And in sports, men are perceived much stronger than women. And that is part of the culture change that I think we need to be changing across the board. And that starts with women supporting women, women supporting themselves, and companies also taking initiatives to support those women trying to inspire other women.
But you know, you have a full-time, you know, 9-to-5 job, and mm-hmm. you have to do it. So
yeah.
I mean, to do all the training plus work full-time, that's an enormous amount of effort every day on your part. And somebody who wants to achieve something, I always go back to the concept of the Olympics. The main job is training to be number one in their field. So I can't see why there should be sponsorship in what you're trying to do. You know, it's so amazing. It's so amazing.
I think that part of it, too, is it's like the whole thing. If the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, did it make a sound? You know, also companies, sponsors, individuals like myself or other people doing mountaineering or companies aren't going to know about it unless they've heard about it. And so that is part. Again, I was talking about some individuals in New York, and a longtime friend of mine, Jeff Hill, he really believes in me and what I'm doing. And so he's just a brilliant marketing guy. He's got his people trying to help me and trying to get my message out there to give, you know, to find those sponsorships, to find the companies that might want to be a part of this journey to help inspire women, because they're not going to know about it unless somehow we can let them know, because it's not on the radar of, you know, we start to talk about these things and what goes into one of these climbs. Again, like someone will ask me and be like, well, what, like Everest, that's like $20,000 to go do, right? And I'm like, oh, sweet Lord, no. And same with Antarctica or the kind of gear. People just generally, it's kind of an untapped area for most of the United States. They just don't understand everything that goes into it. And it's not like a spectator sport that you can go watch. So it's kind of under the radar. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's so many amazing things that women are trying to accomplish in all these different areas of athletics and adventure that need to be more known. And how we do that is through conversations like this and Women Who Inspire or social media. That is an amazing advantage of social media, to be able to share those stories and get people excited. When I was on Everest, you know, and I think you were able to watch my adventure as I was doing it, and I love being able to share that and give anyone, especially women and girls, kind of a taste of what it's like to go do one of these. And I plan on doing that in Antarctica and then back on Everest again. And that's a great, I guess, media or way to be able to get some exposure and share the adventure and inspire.
Wow.
So anyone listening, if you know a company that wants to let me know, I'm happy to talk to anyone. But yeah, I think it's hard to kind of get that message out there. Especially when, like you said, when I have a full-time job, plus I have another full-time job of trying to train, so it leaves very little time to try to find that sponsorship.
And another full-time job and trying to get sponsorship—that's got to be pretty consuming.
The hustle. The hustle.
Oh my.
Yes. But that's grit. That's grit. So you got to, you know, and then, you know, at the end of the day, I always think, I'm like, well, when this is all done, I've got my book outlined. I'll try to write an inspirational book, and hopefully maybe that will pay me back one day. But, you know, we all have hobbies. We all have dreams. And this really is mine. I am so dedicated to this, and I really, really hope that, you know, in any time, I even have someone reach out to me on Facebook and like, hey, I watched your adventures on Everest with my daughter every day, and she's so excited, and this has really inspired her. Man, like that alone, it makes it so worth it just to, you know, open some girl's eyes to what she can achieve. Makes it so worth it in this lifetime.
You know, as we're taping this, there's horrific things going on in this country, which is tearing mm-hmm. people apart, and it's all negative. And what you're trying to do is positive and be inspirational and to teach people, not only women and girls, but even young boys and men, hey, you can do this.
Anyone.
You can achieve.
Yeah.
Don't give yeah. up. I think it's
you can have a positive impact on people. Yeah.
You know, and in this, I'm sorry, in this day and age, the message that you're trying to promote is so needed. You know?
It is. Yeah. And we all need to be doing it. And, you know, I shared with you before, like on my Grit Facebook page, you know, we kind of put out there, hey, you know, help this next journey. And it was interesting. There were about six individuals who right away just, I don't even know them. They seemed very, very angry. And it was comments like, why don't you get a job and pay for your own vacations like everybody else? You know, that kind of stuff where I, you know, it didn't, it actually, I kind of chuckled. I was like, oh, you have no idea. I work my tail off.
So we only have less than a minute left.
Yeah.
So give out your contact information and how people can help you. And, you know, I'll work social media as much as I possibly can because this is an issue that is so important. So
thank you for being such a great supporter. And you guys, my website is GGRIT, so GGRIT. Got to add in that extra gratitude. But then you can follow me. It's got links to my Instagram, my Facebook, and every single, I have a GoFundMe up. Every single dollar counts. But even if you don't have any money that you can contribute, pass it on. Just send it on to others that might want to be inspired. And please follow the journey. I hope it inspires you to fulfill your full potential and anything there is that you want to accomplish in this life. And that's what this is all about. So thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate it so much. I leave for Antarctica in 3 weeks to today. In 3 weeks, I leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to Megan Buchanan. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, follow us on Facebook. Megan, you know, I look forward to talking with you again soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Bye.